Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning, 6:10 in the morning, 720 WGN. This is the Steve Cochran Show. Steve under the weather today. Dave and I will be taking over the reins for the next couple of hours.
The DNA shows
the DNA. We are back. The band is back together. Mark Carman's here. He's going to be doing our sports all morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Great to be here. Good to see you guys.
Quick little turnaround for you two.
I got the late night call. Yes, I would love to come in the morning and see AD and DNA.
The DNA experience back.
After an emotional weekend, I know very excited that we're gonna have Chris on the show today.
We're gonna talk Northwestern, of course, in the next segment, right after the traffic. Mary's in traffic. Steve Grzanich in news. Mike Jacobson producing. Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, is our executive producer. All right, let's get right to the top six at six. Lots going on today.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
Top six at six on 720 WGN.
All right, where do you want to start, Dave? Wiretapping, Russia, healthcare, or Neil Gorsuch?
I think that probably covers one entire topic in the top six at six.
That is one. Number one. All right,
what would you call it?
A wheel of death?
Sort of Lollapalooza.
Russian roulette?
Yeah.
All right, let's go there first. The House Intelligence Committee today hears from FBI Director James Comey on the Russian hacking charges and claims that President Obama has made. President Trump has made about President Obama wiretapping him during the campaign. Now, the ranking Democrat, Adam Schiff, says that he hopes the FBI director's testimony puts Trump's wiretapping claims to rest. We don't know for sure what James Comey is going to say. That is going to be quite interesting. Over the weekend, the CIA and the FBI briefed the House and Senate Intelligence Committee members in both parties, who both have said they see no evidence to back Trump's claim.
Isn't that what they're expecting him to say? Is it basically what we've been hearing for the last several days, that there's nothing to it?
So now the question remains, if Comey comes up and says, yeah, there's no evidence, everybody's in agreement except President Trump, does he drop it or does he continue with it?
No, because he just tweeted out this morning.
So this is going to continue.
Yeah, fake news. He's calling this is fake news. This is a story. It's fake news. Everyone knows it.
Of course it is. It's another red herring. Next. Yeah. All right, North Korea's latest test could be a troubling sign. They did it again, and guess when they did it? When Rex Tillerson was in Beijing. Wrong place, wrong time? What do you think?
Coincidence?
I don't think so. Kim Jong-un is warning that North Korea is ready to deploy nukes if the United States fires a single bullet, to which President Trump responded, North Korea is acting very, very badly.
Okay, this guy, why do you want to provoke him? He's a nutcase with nuclear weapons,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. North Korea is banned by the United Nations from conducting these long-range missile tests, but they're claiming that it's just for satellite purposes and just tests. A successful test would indicate, though, that North Korea is intent on firing these long-range missiles.
The other thing I was reading about over the weekend is the idea that they're making so many tests of these missiles is an indication that they have stockpiled so many that they can afford to shoot a few into the ocean. It's really not a problem because we've got plenty more.
Right, because I think we asked Ryan Nobles, who's going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour, that same question. The last time they did this, what, do they just have all these weapons at their disposal? And he said, yeah.
Yeah, they're not
really. That's scary.
They're not really testing. This is all about a demonstration of power.
Big time. Not good. Next. All right. President Trump's approval rating. Remember last week it was pretty bad? Remember the week before it was pretty bad? It's the lowest it's been since he has taken the oath of office, as, of course, he continues to grapple with health care reform, the travel ban, and the wiretapping allegations. Some numbers. All right, now to compare, President Obama's approval rating was between 62 and 63%. That, according to Gallup polling, there's a 25% difference. Trump's approval rating dipping below 40% during his presidency. That, according to the Gallup poll. Well, I guess, you know what? There's nowhere to go but up.
Sure. There's something to shoot at.
Chuck Berry. Oh, man. Chuck Berry passes away at 90 years old. What rock and roll legend, rock and roll pioneer. Gotta love Chuck Berry. Johnny B. Good, Roll Over Beethoven.
I saw Steve and Johnny posting some stuff online over the weekend about him. They had a relationship with him. And
yeah, they interviewed him quite a bit. Buddy Guy always spoke so highly of him. And so we wish our best to Chuck Berry's family. May he rest in peace. And let's do one more. Steve Grzanich mentioned this a little bit earlier. The Muppets have debuted a new character. Steve, you were talking about this in the 5 o'clock hour.
At the end of the show this morning, we talked about this. A new
Muppet, an autistic character.
Yeah. Which She's got red hair.
Her name is Julia.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
I'm very cute.
I think it's very cool. I love the Muppets.
They're great.
Come on, do your cookie. You know you don't.
Cookie.
Yeah.
And they need another girl in the Muppets, too.
Doesn't that make you laugh?
Yeah.
When Steve does his
I love it.
Where or when I do it, it always turns on my iPhone.
We'll be in the middle of a very serious staff meeting, and all of a sudden, cookie.
All right, that's the top six at six. And we're going to talk Northwestern right after WGN traffic.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
McIntosh to the top, in the lane, through traffic, drops it off to Parton. His shot is blocked. Shot was blocked, I believe,
technical
by Collins,
foul
and a technical foul on Chris Collins.
Oh, the worst possible time.
If I see a guy from another team put his hand through the rim and block a shot going through the basket, I'm gonna react to it. If the play isn't called, I mean, I'm a human being too. I think all of you guys would. A guy puts his hand right through the rim and blocks a shot. To me, that's a goaltend. So, of course, I mean, that cuts it to three. We're all emotional. We're coming back from 20 down. You know, they made the calls. It is what it is. They issued a statement. I appreciate the apology. It makes me feel great.
Yeah. Well, Northwestern has nothing to be ashamed of or sorry for. They trailed by 18 at the half. They were still down with 18 with 12 minutes to play and made this huge rally. You were there, David. The excitement had to be insane.
It was tremendous. Throughout the time we were in Salt Lake City, the excitement was great. I mean, the fan support was unbelievable. It was just off the charts, the way the fans turned out for it, the way they never... I'll tell you what, if people watching on TV were thinking it was over with an 18-point lead at halftime, 22 points late in the first half... They never did. I never sensed it in the arena that they couldn't make a run. I mean, as good as Gonzaga is, and Gonzaga is a really good team.
Yes.
But the fact that they were able to just keep battling and they would get it down to I think they got it down to about 15 points or so, and then Gonzaga would hit a three and it's 18 again, mm-hmm. and they couldn't quite get over that hump. And then all of a sudden they started to chip away. They went on a run, and now you have a chance – it should be a three-point game.
Right.
That's when that goaltend occurred.
Let's talk about that a little bit. I know everybody has seen it, and the NCAA has issued, what was it, like an apology?
It's basically an apology.
But that does nothing, right?
Well, you can't change the outcome. I mean, it's just like, we see this in sports a lot. There'll be a call and a blown call, and afterwards you realize it's blown call and it's acknowledged, but you can't change the outcome of the game. The game's over.
Right.
It's done. They're not going to replay it.
How rare is that that they would issue an apology?
Like, I think it happened twice over the weekend. I think it happened
in
the North Carolina-Arkansas
too.
Game.
Boy.
There's always going to be the element of human error involved.
Sure.
And probably in college basketball, to a certain extent, there's even more of that element because you have limited use of video replay compared to other sports. And I don't know that there's an easy answer for that, except... Mm-hmm. Boy, if they could have reviewed this, it sure would have made everybody's life, including the NCAA's, a lot easier.
No kidding.
It's not just a question of helping Northwestern in this situation. It probably helps the careers of those officials if they're able to get it right. And that's the thing about technology. And I know baseball purists have always said, you don't want to take the human element out of it and make it too regulated and too much video replay and it slows down the game and all this. But if you have the technology to get it right, isn't that the objective.
Right. And the technical, too. I mean, the technical was probably deserved.
Well, the technical was a direct result of the missed call. Yeah. So I can't blame Chris for going ballistic there after he saw it. Clear as a, and you saw the pictures. You've seen the still photos of it.
There's clearly his hands going through his
hands
the
all
net
the way through
and then above the rim. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure if Chris could rewind and not run onto the court, he wouldn't do it. But as he said in the clip, he's a human being and he lost it for a second. And understandably, it was a huge, huge moment in the game and they needed it and they didn't get it. I also think, look, to come back, Dave, against Gonzaga, this is a team that's lost one game that's mm-hmm. been killing teams all year long. And Northwestern was not in the game in the first half. Even the most optimistic Cat fan was like, are they really going to be able to come back against Gonzaga? I didn't think they could. And then they were right there. It was super impressive.
The game is very much in doubt at that point.
It was such a good game to watch.
And well, I went to church at that point when they were doing so badly. It was 5 o'clock mass. I go, I'm going to run to church because this isn't looking
so
good.
So that now
That's
we know how they were able to come
Mayor,
back. Mary,
I came
thank
back,
you.
I said a prayer. I came back. I know I was praying for purple. And then I came back. What the
We're
going to
let
happened?
Coach Collins know that when he yes. joins us at 8:40 this morning that you're at least partly responsible for them
yes, for
coming
the comeback.
Back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's hard not to. It's hindsight, of course, but it's hard not to wonder what would have happened, you know, if they didn't this, if they got the two and then didn't give up the two.
It's like Mark said. I mean, this team led the nation in scoring margin, the margin by which they outscore their opponents, yeah. 23 points a game. On average, basically, they win every game by a blowout. Mm-hmm. And at halftime, they're up 18 on Northwestern. And yeah, I mean, you're thinking, okay, if they can't get it together here in the second half, this thing could get ugly. But they did get it together and they did keep fighting. I knew they weren't going to walk away from it. I mean, you can tell these guys are, it's a special group and they were going to keep battling and they did. And they almost pulled it off.
And what you said earlier, too, I mean, they had these mini runs and they got knocked back and you're thinking, okay, well, this is it. Yeah. And then it just wasn't it. Yeah. And they would not go down. And Gonzaga's got multiple NBA players. So if you want to be optimistic about next year, which I think everybody is, I mean, that's yet another reason to point to it. Because, I mean, you're going up against some serious yeah. competition.
By the way, they have a 7'1", 300-pound setter from Poland by the name of Szemek Karnowski.
Oh,
you may have
cool.
seen him
yeah.
with a big kind of bushy-looking beard, right? Did you see him?
I did, yeah.
So I had to, when I got to Salt Lake City, I had to trim my beard because we kept getting mistaken for each other.
Oh, of course, I know,
I'm walking
right?
down the main street in Salt Lake City, mm-hmm. people say, hey, Szemek. I'm like, no, it's Dave.
I was shocked to see that on Twitter. It was unbelievable. I'm mm-hmm. like, Dave's not that tall, but it was so striking.
Mary, did you watch the game?
I did watch the game, and yesterday we saw Coach Fitz at the ice arena because his son plays with our son, and he said that being a part of this game, what he was a part of in Salt Lake City, was the coolest thing he's ever done because usually he's coaching, so he doesn't get to enjoy being a fan. Mm-hmm. He said he's never tailgated before or been a part of rallies where he just got to enjoy it, and he was like so fired. You know how he's pretty intense. He was so fired up yesterday. He can't wait for next year to go back.
Yeah, he was. First of all, I mentioned this with these guys yesterday on the beat. When the Cats won in Ohio State for the first time since the 70s,
yeah.
earlier this season, the first guy on the floor in Columbus to give Chris Collins a bear hug was Pat Fitzgerald. And he flew out with this group on Thursday before the game. Mm-hmm. And my wife texts, she was on the plane, and she texts me a video. Fitz at the front of the plane, he's got the PA system, the mic for the PA on the plane, leading them in the fight song.
How
on
cool.
the plane.
He's the best.
And then he flew.
And it was just a commercial flight.
It was a charter.
This was a charter. Okay.
But then he flew back commercial
yesterday.
On,
he did the same.
What day was the game? Saturday.
On Southwest. Yeah. He did the same thing on that flight, too, we heard.
I'm
no,
sure
I don't know if he did.
No, I think he did.
We'll get him next year.
He tweeted that he was proud of the group on the plane.
They yeah. had an alumni event before both the games, and he was there leading the cheers at the yeah. pep rally. And then during the game Thursday, he was the guy standing in the aisle getting all the Northwestern fans up on their feet and basically playing the role of head cheerleader. It was very cool. And he flew back with us after the game on Saturday night.
What a great guy. Oh, my God. And what an amazing season. You know, this is going to be a great team for many years to come. Coach Collins will be with us at 8:40 as well. And we have Dr. Kevin Most. You get spring allergies?
Excuse me? I don't know. It's not allergies, I don't think. But I need Dr. Most.
What a beautiful segue. Yeah, you do. We're going to have him check in on you as well. That's after the big story. And that's next on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Most right now.
One of our favorite segments on the Steve Cochran Show here. Happy Monday and good morning to you. Dr. Kevin Most is going to join us in a few seconds here. We're going to talk about spring allergies today and medical records. You were just saying, Dave, that you had your complete physical, you know, you had your blood test. Everyone once a year should do a cholesterol screening, just a little physical. Get the once over.
I just had mine 2 weeks ago.
And you were okay.
What was my, on a scale of 1 to 10, I guess.
6?
Yeah,
4?
A little higher than okay. that. I was doing okay, actually.
Is this before or after your cold?
That was before my cold and before the NCAA tournament. But, so I don't know how I am now.
But when you were sick, that wasn't allergies. That was a legit
cold. No, I was sick.
Yeah. Dr. Kevin Most joins. Hey, Doc, what's going on, my friend? You with us?
Guy.
Hey, we're talking about you. All good, though.
Okay, that's good.
No, we're talking, you know, I know we're going to talk about medical records, too, today, and this is kind of the time of year. It's when you kind of get the once-over, as I was calling it to Dave. You get your blood test, you get your cholesterol checked. It's always good to do it once a year, but I think the fallback has always been, well, you'll call us with the results and say, hey, everything's great, but follow up, right, Doc? I mean, don't just, because you're busy, we're busy, always follow up with these calls.
Well, yeah, and to be honest, Andrea, I am not a big fan of the we'll call you if everything's okay. I think that if a patient has a blood test done or has a test done, it shouldn't be, oh, don't worry about it if you don't hear from us. Mm-hmm. It should actually be a conversation between either the doctor or one of the excellent nurses there to say, hey, let me tell you, here's the results of your test. Here's what we expected. Here's why we did this test. So often you're told why they're going to do tests when you're in the office for your physical, but you forget by the time you get in your car, mm-hmm. and you forget which tests you had done. So following up with that by the doctor's office to say, let me tell you, here's the results and here's what's going on. The electronic medical record now allows people to get their results as fast as the doctor now.
And that's online, right? I mean, that's most of that is online now. You can go into the portal. It's a secure website and get your results.
Exactly. So almost every doctor, and those that don't, it's very, very few and far between, have an electronic medical record right now. And usually they should ask you, do you want access to your chart? And they ask you to fill out some forms, and then you download an app, and it's right there. And it's wonderful. I mean, you can check your medications. If you go to a doctor, a different doctor, and he adds a medication, you can add that. You can talk to the doctor, and you can, you know, send emails to the doctor. So it's a great communication tool for the patient and the physician.
Well, when I had my physical, I went in first to get the blood work done. And my test results were probably, I don't know, a week or so before my appointment so that I could speak to my doctor about them when I went in for my physical. Mm-hmm. And I got an email, Doc, telling me that my test results were available. I went into the portal. I had all of my blood test results. And, of course, then at that point it becomes, okay, let me figure out if this is good or bad. And so I went through each test result. I said to my wife, okay, I think that one's good. I think that one's okay. That one, I'm not so sure about that. But of course, when I sat down with my doctor, he was able to confirm that, yeah, that was good. That one was a little low, but we can work on that. And yeah, but it was kind of cool to get that. And there was reassurance in that, seeing that everything seemed to check out okay.
Yeah. And Dave, your doctor does something that's great. You know, before we had the electronic medical record, having the lab test done before you go into the physical is great because now he has the results and he can go over there with them right in front of you. So now, like you said, now with the portal, I can check on my results and I can look and say, oh my gosh, my hemoglobin is 14. It used to be 12. Is that good or is that bad? And, you know, now the next thing you know, you're on the internet checking on all your lab tests. But hopefully if there's something that came back very unusual that the doctor would even call you before your physical and say, I know you're going to look on the portal. Don't worry about it. Let me talk to you about this. But the portal is wonderful.
I know something that's helpful in our households is, you know, our kids live in two houses, and I was took Patrick to a clinic, and then we ended up going to Children's because he was having trouble breathing. He had like severe bronchitis last year, and though his mom knows all his records and she was texting me a lot of information, they were able just to look it up and see, because they were asking me questions I couldn't answer because from things when I before I even knew him, and
or something might have changed
once I knew. You know, you can't remember, you think he was just there last year but it was 3 years ago, you know, so they were able to say, oh, he had a breathing treatment 6 months ago, you know, so they were took all the guess out of it, which I think was helpful in treating him.
Yeah, the functionality of the electronic medical records on the big system level are great if you're on the same one. If you're not, we can share. So there are some, if we have one called Epic, and we can share with other people all their Epic records. So if they come from Joliet and they're on Epic, we can see their records with a sharing agreement, which is exactly what you were saying, Mayor, that it's so important that when you're going between doctors now, you don't have to wait for that letter. You don't have to bring big piles of medical records to the appointment. He can go online and scan them very quickly now and get all the information that they need historically going back, you know, 10 years.
It's kind of like your prescription. You know, you can go to one Walgreens or one Osco. You're all on the computer. It's all the same. Has that kind of improved the care as well, Doc?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, Andrea, because some of that's better, some of that's worse. So, people used to, especially seniors, would shop their prescriptions. In other words, okay, I'm on simvastatin. It's $22 at CVS, and it's $10 at Walgreens, and it's $8 at Costco. I'm going to get it at Costco. But many of you realize now when you leave the doctor's office, you don't have that piece of paper anymore. You've told us which pharmacy you like to use, and we send it electronically to the pharmacist. So the ability to shop is not good, but the ability to know that where you're getting all your prescriptions filled is the same place, which allows us to track that as well, is excellent.
Are we going to be to a point, or is it too dangerous, where we could access the electronic records through cell phones? Is that kind of the next step?
Oh, no, it's here now.
Okay.
So on my cell phone right now, I can go into something called MyChart, which will, I can request an appointment, I can look at my medications, I can check lab results. So it's there, you know, and then it's just the security of it to make sure that, you know, you have a good password and it's password protected in case you were to ever lose your phone. But everyone is not sitting at their computer, and more people are using their phone actually as a computer as well for their health records.
And what about cybersecurity breaches? I know hacking is such a big concern right now. Is that a worry?
It's a huge concern, especially at the system level, but in the individual level it is as well. It's pretty interesting. You can go out and buy a credit card number from a criminal for about $50. But a health record is worth way more than that. It's worth hundreds of dollars. And you're like, well, why is that? Because we have so much of your information, and it's very powerful information. Someone can go have surgery on your insurance, to be honest with you. So those are the big concerns, and we try to protect those as much as we can. You read about breaches every so often in the paper, large breaches of information. But for the most part, we're very, very careful, and we have great cybersecurity that backs that up.
See, Andrea, there's on my phone, there are my test results. See that? Well, don't pull them up. But there's a reminder to pick up a bottle of vitamin D, that my vitamin D was a little bit low. So I
thought you were going to say vodka.
I see a couple other prescriptions you have to pick up here, too. That's your cholesterol?
Does it say zero?
That's not my cholesterol.
Man, yes. Dave's cholesterol is minus one.
Shouldn't have shown you that. We're going to have more
cool.
With Dr. Most, including talk about, and it gets to be a very hot topic this time of year, seasonal allergies.
Yep.
The allergy season is upon us. We'll get to that.
In the morning, 720 WGN, talking to Dr. Kevin Most. Boy, this has been the craziest winter ever. We were playing golf in February. We had a blizzard last week that lasted a day. So I'm noticing itchy eyes, watery eyes. You were sneezing, little cough there before. Doc, is Mother Nature as goofed up as we are?
Mother Nature is so confused. and not just in Chicago. You know, I was down in Pinehurst where pine pollen season is normally about 2-3 weeks from now. They're in the middle of it right now. I'm in Dallas right now. They have very high pollen right now, which is very unusual. And even in Chicago, without the rain, you know, that Mary was talking about just earlier, you guys were medium to high pollen, and now at least it's washed out a little bit with the rain. But very unusual to have these counts this high. So people are seeing their allergies flaring up early this year.
I was in Washington 2 weeks ago, well, week before last, for the Big Ten tournament. Now, the cherry blossoms, some of the cherry blossoms are already blooming in D.C. And this is, we're talking still February or first week of March, second week of March, very early. And I felt it there. I mean, there's no question there was already this pollen in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people don't think about it. They're, you know, oh, my seasonal allergies are in the spring. You know, I'm going to. About April, when I start paying my taxes, I'm going to start thinking about taking my medicines for allergies. And it's not this year. This year, you got to be thinking, you know, around St. Patrick's Day. So, you know, the importance of starting those medications early is probably one of the biggest things.
Yeah, that's the question, Doc. What can we do? Do you start the medicine early? And what's the first one to hit us? Is it pollen?
Yeah, it's going to be tree pollen. You're going to start to see some of the flowers pop up, but these trees are all budding, and they pollinate at this time of the year. So you're going to see tree pollen is going to be the bigger. Grass isn't going to kick in for a little bit now. A lot of the grass is still very dormant, but tree pollens are going to be the big ones right now. So, you know, if you have that known allergy, or if you don't know what your allergies are, but they come at this time, it is time to start those antihistamines now.
If you want to just get the over the counter, you know, the ones where you don't need the prescription for, how do you know what one to get? Is it just you keep trying until one works?
Yeah, that's actually what it is. So, you know, the over the counter used to be all we had was Benadryl, and someone takes 50 milligrams of Benadryl, they'll be asleep, you know, at their desk.
Yeah.
And then we came out with Zyrtec and Allegra and Claritin. And they're all a little different, so you almost have to try them, but you have to try them for a little while before. So it's almost like a season of trying, all right, I'm going to try Claritin. All right, 3 weeks, it hasn't worked. Okay, now I can switch. Don't try it and say, oh, I'm not better by 3 this afternoon. I need to try a different one.
I actually wasn't sure, and I asked the pharmacist, and they recommended Allegra, and I tried it, and it worked for me.
See,
and now I'm still using it.
I did that with Zyrtec. I think you recommended that, Doc, and Zyrtec was great. So it just depends on, I guess, the person and their allergies.
Exactly. And then also be careful. So if you're not congested and all you have is the runny nose and the itchy eyes, then just get the plain Zyrtec or the plain Allegra. If it gets to a point where you're really congested, then getting the Allegra D or the Claritin D or the Zyrtec D that has that little bit of a decongestant to help keep those sinuses cleared as well.
What about the generics for those?
Absolutely. You know what? I'm a huge fan of generics now, and you're going to start to see more and more of them. And fortunately, these companies are still making enough money on the brand names that the generic prices actually are much lower. When they start to lose that delta, that difference, you're going to start to see the generics start to creep up. But definitely go with the generics.
Hey, Doc, how long does medicine take to get out of your system? I mean, if you were trying to figure out what works best for you, like the Sudafed or the Claritin or the Zyrtec, whatever it might be, you're obviously not going to take them all at the same time or, you know, a couple hours apart. How long does it take for the first, you know, kind of to flush the first out?
So it's a great question. If you think about drugs like, let's go back a long time ago, penicillin, where we used to have to take it 4 times a day. And the reason we had to take it 4 times a day is it had a very short half-life. So by the time the drug was winding down, you had to take your next dose. So now what we found out is, well, from a compliance point of view, let's make sure we have extended-release medications so that people will continue to take their medications and not be inconvenienced and their compliance will be high. Well, with that, unfortunately, we've extended the half-life. So what a half-life is by the time the drug hits the top number in your body, what's the time before one half of it is gone, and then the time before another half and another half-life, you're going to get it almost out of your system.
Okay.
So if you've had a complete steady state of Zyrtec, it's going to take you a good couple days before it's totally out of your system.
Before it flushes. All right, well...
Yeah.
Here we go. We're ready for the allergy season. Although I'd rather have nice weather and a little bit of rain and no snow.
Absolutely.
In March.
That works.
And the one final thing I would say is watch out, you asthma people. Asthma triggers at this time and you haven't had it all winter. Make sure you have that rescue inhaler, that Ventolin inhaler. That's the one you only use when you're really bad. Nothing worse than getting a bad asthma attack and go, I haven't used my rescue since October.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's empty.
Do you have more charts? Dave's still looking at his medical.
I'm looking at my charts. No, I have to say, the first text I got after Northwestern's win over Vanderbilt on Thursday was from Doc Most, congratulating the Cats on the win and saying, now beat Gonzaga, right? So I have to congratulate your Kansas Jayhawks on getting to the Sweet 16.
All right,
16
don't go that
also.
Far. Don't go that far.
Well, no, it's... Hey. Right?
I love you, Doc. I'm kidding.
No, I know.
Is Bill Self still that coach? No, I'm kidding.
Yep, he is. Sorry we stole him. But Coach Collins and the Northwestern guys, you should be very proud. I thought you were going to win that game, and they had a great season.
It was. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. But good luck to you, Jayhawks, even though Andrea doesn't want me to say that.
No, I root for anything Dr. Kevin Most likes, I'm all for.
Well said.
Thanks, Doc.
Okay. Thanks, Doc.
Thanks, you guys. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Have a great week again. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Back after this on the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
You know, you can talk all you want about Russia, which was all a, fake news, fabricated deal to try and make up for the loss of the Democrats, and the press plays right into it.
As I told you last week about the issue with the president talking about tapping Trump Tower, I don't think there was an actual tap.
I think it's 50-50 whether the Democrats filibustered. Right. They don't have any good arguments against Gorsuch, but they're furious that we're going to have a conservative nominated and confirmed. I'll tell you this, Judge Gorsuch will be confirmed.
It's called privileged. This bill is written so that it can't be filibustered. This is the closest we've been to a repealing and replacing Obamacare. This is the closest we will ever get.
7:12 in the morning, 720 WGN. Our friend Ryan Nobles from CNN joins us. Hey, how you doing, Ryan?
Not bad. How are you, Andrea?
We are...
What's going on in D.C. today? It's going to be pretty busy.
I was going to say, slow week, huh? Dave and I were talking earlier this morning when we did the top six at 6. Where do you want to start? Well, I feel like I'm playing Russian roulette or some sort of a game of roulette. We'll just spin the wheel and see what comes up. Why don't we start with wiretapping? James Comey is going to be House Intelligence Committee hearing from him today on the Russian hacking charges and the wiretapping charges. So let's start with the wiretapping. Where's this going to go?
Well, I think this is, I agree with you, Andrea. This, of all the big things happening today, I think this is the biggest. And I have to really give credit to Chris Eliza from the Washington Post, who's actually joining us at CNN here in the next month. And he was talking about this last night on CNN. And what I think is so interesting about this hearing today is that this could have been a hearing where Donald Trump actually got some good news. Because I think you're going to hear from James Comey and from the National Security Agency Director Mike Rogers, where they're going to not be able to definitively say that there's evidence that the Russian government and the Trump campaign were colluding during the campaign, that they weren't working together. Perhaps Russia was attempting to help Donald Trump win the election, but the Trump campaign wasn't involved in it. But because Donald Trump has created this issue of accusing former President Obama of wiretapping him, that's dominating the headlines. And what James Comey is likely to say today is that there is no evidence that that took place. So instead of Donald Trump getting this big headline where, yes, we haven't found anything to say that you were involved with the Russian government during the campaign, instead, everyone's going to be talking about the fact that there's no evidence to back up his wiretapping claim, which even as of this morning, he is yet to back down from. So he's his own worst enemy when it comes to this particular issue.
Completely agree with you, Ryan. Right. He was tweeting this morning, it'll be fake news. Whatever he says will be fake news, which is ridiculous because I agree with you. I think Comey's going to come out and say there is no evidence. You've already had top Republicans and top Democrats agreeing to this. What will Trump's response be if they're saying no, and then Comey kind of puts the seal of approval on the official no? What's Trump going to say to that? Why would you keep it going?
Because as we've seen since he became a candidate, and really even before he became a candidate, Donald Trump is not someone who apologizes or would ever show if he had a regret about anything. So why now does he begin to back down? We even saw Sean Spicer start to begin the process of maybe walking back these claims a little bit, but the president himself continues to double down on it. He's just someone who never gives up. He never relents, no matter how the odds are stacked up against him. And this is another great example. The question is, how long does this hang over his administration? If everyone, Republicans and Democrats, if the intelligence community, if the FBI, if everyone says there's no evidence, but he continues to say that there is evidence and that eventually it will come, how does this end? I don't know what the ultimate outcome of this is, but it continues to be something that just hangs over his administration when he's trying to deal with things like pushing through this very controversial health reform bill, when he's trying to get a new Supreme Court justice nominated. These are all things that end up in the background, which are tangible, important things, because we're dealing with this claim that of which there's no evidence to back it up.
Right. And the committee's also looking into, as you said, efforts by Russia to influence last year's election by hacking into Democratic officials close to Hillary Clinton. That's been the subject of the ongoing investigation. If Comey should say, yes, we did find more evidence, we're going to continue with this route, don't you think President Trump would help himself with all of this by saying, you know what? Yes, let's look into this instead of you can't keep blowing it off, can you?
Yeah, and that's the problem, is that he's just so concerned about the idea that even giving an inch on the idea that Russia was involved or had some attempt to intervene in the American election, that will somehow taint his electoral victory, that he doesn't even want to open the door to that. That's why he continues to push back on it. And even if there's no evidence that his campaign was involved in it, he could be an innocent victim in this situation where, you know, he didn't conspire with the Russians, he didn't have anything to do with the Russians, but the Russians did it independently. He doesn't even want to open the door to that because he, to a certain extent, seems to have an inferiority complex with this. You know, he lost the popular vote, which really seems to bother him, and he doesn't want anyone to even open the door to the idea that he didn't win the election fair and square because it knocks against his his view and the way of the image that he likes to portray of himself.
If anything, I think the Russian allegations should be the biggest concern right now for this administration.
And Andrew, it's such a great point because, independent of Donald Trump, we're talking about a threat to America as an institution. You know, this is, regardless of who won the election, the idea that foreign government, particularly a foreign power like Russia, was trying to be involved in upsetting our democratic process should be alarming to anyone, especially the President of the United States.
Ryan, is shifting the focus to North Korea trying to deflect the discussion about the Russian allegations?
Well, I think the thing about North Korea is I don't think that he's necessarily deflecting on that issue, because I do think the North Korea issue is a legitimately concerning one. And this is actually something that the President should be talking more about and not trying to connect it to in any way, shape, or form, but independently talking about it as a serious issue. I mean, you have serious provocations by the North Korean government. You have folks in Japan that are legitimately worried about what this guy could do. And so what I'd like to see from the president, I think a lot of Americans would like to see, is kind of a mature posture on this, to be resolute and strong, but then also show that the administration has a plan if North Korea were to do something that would be dangerous to the rest of the world. We don't see that right now. We see him just kind of throwing out a lot of, insults and criticism towards the North Korean leader. We don't see a lot of, a thought-out policy plan to address the situation.
Yeah, that's my thought over the weekend, was there's all this rhetoric about North Korea, and yet here you've got this country that is testing these missiles, and the timing of it with the talks going on with China at the same time almost seems like it was deliberately provocative, aimed at testing the U.S. and to see how far the Trump administration is willing to go.
Well, I mean, to a certain extent, to your point, Dave, the United States has opened itself up to being vulnerable at this point, right? Because we don't have a lot of unity in our government right now. And then the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, is, in Asia right now and only allowed one member of the press on board of his plane. And it was from a conservative news outlet, and then told that particular member of the media that he's not a big fan of press access. So it's hard to really glean exactly what's happening. We don't really know a lot about Tillerson as a person, let alone as a diplomat. So we don't have a full picture of exactly what's happening over there. And also keep in mind that you've got North Korea dealing with its own issues, but our ally, South Korea, is in the middle of a political upheaval. They just had to impeach their president. It is such an unstable time in that part of the world, and America needs to play an important part in making sure that situation is smoothed out.
Not to mention completely volatile. Ryan, we know you have to run. You're at the airport on your way to the Trump rally. Neil Gorsuch, though, confirmation hearing begins today. He will get through, right? And it's not going to be smooth sailing, but he will be approved.
Yeah, he should do well. And what's interesting about this, Andrea, is this is what the Trump administration should want us to focus on, right? They feel that Gorsuch is a strong pick. They feel that he's, you know, has admiration from both sides of the political spectrum. He's expected to perform very well in these confirmation hearings. But instead of the focus being on him and all the spotlight on him, we've got the hearing on Russia that's going to dominate so much of the news coverage today. And for the Trump administration, that's probably unfortunate.
Right, absolutely. Ryan, thank you so much.
Thanks,
we know
Ryan.
You have to run. Be safe, okay?
All right, thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
All right, we love you. That's at Ryan Nobles on Twitter. Ryan,
sorry,
on...
this North Korea is just scary,
I know.
Terrifying.
I know
stuff.
Special thanks to him. I know he is at the airport. He is on his way to the Trump rally. But he's absolutely right, though. We should be focusing on Neil Gorsuch. This has been a vacant. We've had a deadlocked court. I know they have only been in session once since that, but for 8 months. So this should be the focus right now, and the fact that he'll get congressional approval, and I think the public likes him. I think Neil Gorsuch is going to be a great Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be as contentious as some of the cabinet hearings were.
Absolutely. All right, let's get a check of traffic now, Mark.
Traffic report sponsored by Plumbers911Chicago.com. From frigid temperatures to the spring thaw, Plumbers911 contractors are ready 24/7 for sump pumps, backflow prevention, or a flooding emergency. Visit Plumbers911Chicago.com. Plumbers911Chicago.com. Here's Mary. It's underrated that Andrea literally dances to every song that's on the show.
She does.
I don't know why. It's kind of sad.
It's not sad. It's
including
one of
Dr. Moe's theme, which is kind of weird.
Get your Blackhawks tickets. Speaking of.
We've got them.
Right here. Let's go. No, let's give them away.
We should give them away.
Yeah, this Monday.
This is, there'd be for what, for tomorrow night against Vancouver?
And you get to play in the game. Okay, you don't get to play in the
game.
You get to go to the game.
This is the
hottest
team on ice right now. They've already clinched a playoff spot.
You get dinner with Coach Q, tour of the dressing room.
You don't get dinner with Coach Q.
Oh, you didn't get any of that?
No. Okay. But they are red hot.
You can bring a sign that says 100 or 101 points. They got 99 of them. Huh?
Yeah,
like
that's
that,
right.
You can go that way.
They are on the brink of their 100th point. It could come tomorrow night. You looking for something?
Yeah, I'm looking for what you're going to get. Where is it? I swear it's not here. Don't yell at me. See, you had it. Jake? Okay.
Wow, there is legit fear of Mike Jacobson going out of the studio.
See, you guys are scared of Mary. I think Mary's cool. I'm scared of Jake.
I'm scared of both of them.
Yeah, I know. You should be. You should be Plumbers.
You mean Mary Sandberg. You better say that.
I'm
Mary Sandberg,
Boy
Comcast, yeah, Sports. I don't see the fear that all you guys have in her. She's
I'm
a
not
very nice
scared
person.
Of anybody.
Everybody who meets her says she's sweet. You guys are just scared. Jake is the one who scares me. All right, so a pair of tickets to see the Chicago Blackhawks against Vancouver tomorrow night. That's Tuesday, March 21st. And you'll be entered to win. Thank you, Mikey. You'll be entered to win four-season tickets for next year, courtesy of our friends at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingAndCooling.com or on Facebook, and listen for your second chance to win a pair of tickets this afternoon with Ro.
All right, which caller?
Ready?
Do we need a number caller or just first caller with the correct answer? Let's do that. 312-981-7200.
See, you're scared too. You were going to say 720.
Here it is. Here is our
talker. Okay.
I'm 12 miles south of the Chicago Loop, where all my employees lived as a group. I traveled America both near and far, and only the wealthy could ride in my car.
Ooh,
that's a good one. You know?
Yes, I already read the answer, so I know.
Oh,
but
let's read it again.
All right, do it again.
I'm 12 miles south of the Chicago Loop, where all my employees lived as a group. I traveled America both near and far, and only the wealthy could ride in my car.
This is a good one.
Ooh, you really think you got it, Mayor?
I do.
Don't look at the answer.
Don't say it.
I can't see the answer. You guys all can.
All right, we're going to take
a
call.
That's a good one, though.
Let the people think about it. Let the people talk about it. And we'll come back with the winner right after this on WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this
is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good, who never ever learned to read or write so well, but he could play a guitar just like a ringing a bell. Go, go!
Lost a rock and roll pioneer over the weekend. Chuck Berry dies at the age of 90 with his indelible guitar licks, brash self-confidence, and memorable songs about cars, girls, and dance parties. Did as much as anyone to define rock and roll. He died on Saturday at his home near Wentzville, Missouri, again 90 years old. The St. Charles County Police Department was called to the scene. They said that they tried to perform life-saving measures. They were unsuccessful, and Chuck Berry died. His connection to Chicago, though, in 1955, I didn't realize this until I was reading up a little over the weekend after he passed, that he came to Chicago in 1955 and asked one of his idols, Muddy Waters, how to make a record. Isn't that cool? Wow. So Muddy Waters kind of took him under his arm, directed him to the label he recorded for. You'll know this, Chess Records, where one of the owners, Leonard Chess, heard potential in Mr. Berry's songs. So how cool is that? I mean, there's always a Chicago connection. But I also didn't realize that, you know, Chuck Berry started out, he was in reform school. He was not always on the right side of the law. He was arrested several times for a bunch of car thefts and armed robberies, cleaned up his life, bettered himself, and then he ended up getting a degree in hairdressing and cosmetology. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. No.
At a time, he worked as a beautician.
Do you know what his first single was? Maybelline.
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 Yeah.
And it debuted the month I was born.
Really? 1920?
Yes,
no, I'm kidding.
Exactly right. We're pretty close.
1936. Close. Did you grow up listening to Chuck Berry?
No, you know what? Not that much, because when I was growing up, it was already more the Beatles and the British Invasion. So, but certainly very aware of him. He has a bunch of songs later, like mm-hmm. in the 60s, like after he kind of first burst onto the scene in the late 50s, but then he still was, I think he had a new album, about to come out, right?
I think he did too. Yeah. I mean, like you were saying, he did a Roll Over Beethoven, Rock and Roll Music, School Day, that was in the late 50s, and yep. just continued making music. Don't forget the Beach Boys rework Sweet Little 16 into Surfin' USA. Right. That's what you hear, that was probably one of the original mashups.
Well, for our generation, Andrea, the us 40 types.
us 30-somethings?
Right, us 22-year-olds. Uh-huh. Back to the Future, Johnny B. Goode, Michael, right?
I mean,
that was like Chuck mm-hmm. Berry in your childhood, so to
right.
speak.
Exactly. Yeah, he just kept reinventing himself. Chuck Berry's just amazing. And it's always cool. Like when we have Buddy Guy in and they'll tell stories. Yeah, you know, they'll just sit here. They don't even need to play. They can just sit here and talk for hours. And remember, Buddy Guy was telling a story about Muddy Waters and Chuck Berry. And Buddy Guy owned, his original club was on the far south side. And he said he had the club and it was in, you know, basically the basement of a building. And he had this young new band that was coming into play. And they were a bunch of guys from Britain. Wasn't the Beatles, but a bunch of guys from Britain. And people were crawling up onto the top of the building trying to get onto the cast iron fire escape to get into the window. It was the Rolling Stones. And every time you see Buddy Guy, he says, yeah, then they still owe me $500 for the bar bill for that night. You know, and that was back in the 60s, wow. So think how much liquor they drank back then. But, our thoughts are with Chuck Berry's family. Again, did you know he got married in 1948? And was with his wife the whole time.
How about that?
Didn't divorce, didn't separate. So he has four children, Ingrid, Melody, Aloha, and Charles Berry Jr. Aloha Issa Lee.
Wow. You go through his discography, some of the songs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Roll Over Beethoven was one that Mark mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet Little 16, Johnny B. Good, obviously.
Yeah, so.
Remember My Ding-a-ling?
My ding-a-ling, yo. Yeah, of course. Are you kidding? We redid that song in college after a night of cocktail.
I imagine you probably did.
Wow.
All right, time for...
Good job, Dave.
Sorry,
yeah,
TMI.
Glad
right?
I brought that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, when the Blackhawks lose, we don't spend a lot of time at the Blackhawks Express, but when they win... Here's your Blackhawks Express. It's sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing.
Chicago!
Chicago Blackhawks are the class of the NHL Central Division and Western Conference, and they've won a lot of games this season. Their opponent tonight, the Colorado Avalanche, are the NHL's worst team, and they've lost a lot of games this season. Here's Nick Schmaltz at the Hawk blue line, left wing side, spins it ahead, Artemi Panarin over the Av line, to Kane, left circle, shoots, he scores! Patrick Kane with a nice setup from Panarin, took the puck in the left wing circle and snaps it past Smith. With under 5 minutes gone in the hockey game, it's 1-0 Hawks. Tanner Carroll will get to the puck and put it behind the net over to Seabrook. Sent it around the far side, picked off by the Avs. Soderberg fires from the left wing side, stopped in front, the rebound, they score. Now Grigorenko into the Hawk zone, takes a pass, shoots and scores. Mikhail Grigorenko with a snapshot that hit the right post. 2-1 Colorado. Put it down to the left wing corner, Eric Johnson. Runs into a check, but they move it out. Barbario from the high slot, shoots, he scores. This one deflects past Darling. 3-1. Put it out to the right point to Van Riemsdyk, the Keith left point. He flips it toward the net. He scores!
Shocker!
Finally, somebody shot the puck and it went in the Av net. It was Keith from the left point. It looked like it hit somebody in front of the net. And the Hawks are back to within a goal of the Avs at 3-2. And I believe the captain, Jonathan Toews, is going to get this goal.
After the coach challenge review, the call on the ice has been confirmed. We have a good goal.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Wow! Here's Seabrook from the right circle. Av zone fires. Blocked in front. The rebound. They score! Richard Panik! It was Johnny on the spot on a rebound in the slot. The puck rolled right onto his stick blade, and he doesn't hesitate. He just fired it into the top shelf, and we're tied at 3. Here's Panarin into the Av zone. Left wing. Cuts across the slot and fires. He scores! Artemi Panarin! The Hawks lead 4-3. A three-goal explosion by the Hawks in under 30 seconds. What is going on? It's 4-3 Hawks. Toews breaking in over the Av line, left circle, shoots, he scores! Jonathan Toews makes it 5-3 in favor of the Hawks. Carroll going for the empty net, he shoots, he scores! A long shot from the Hawk zone. And it's Marcus Kruger actually firing it down. An empty net goal will seal the deal for the Hawks. 1.6 left on the clock. Hawks will win this game 6-3.
There's no better team in hockey. Well, I'm biased, but...
How about this? They scored 2 goals in 17 seconds, and then, which is a number which has pretty important historical significance in the franchise.
Yeah, two goals in 17 seconds. Yep.
And then 17 seconds later, they score again.
And that's because of the Blackhawks.
I guess.
Come on. It was all planned. Coach Q said that. Seven 54 in the morning, 720 WGN. That music can only mean one thing. That hot, sexy thing, Paul Conrad.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Ooh,
how's everything? Hey, you guys are doing a beautiful job. Maybe better than when he's on.
You know, thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
We thought we're getting crazy compliments
we really needed that
from each other. But
it's unbelievable. Right? As long as you get them from each other, that's what really matters also. Is the team spirit.
I don't know how Steve does this interview with you. This microphone's just so warm. Okay, I'm not going there. Paul, our favorite segment that you do, aside from the weather and your fantastic forecast, with the little kids on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, they are hilarious.
Yeah.
My favorite was, of course, they're all our favorites, right?
Of course.
But week before last, the little guy was wearing the hat and the bow tie.
Yeah.
He was showing you moves.
You know, what I like about it is, so much of TV is so predictable. You kind of know what's coming. And when you throw a kid in there, all of a sudden, you don't have as much confidence. There's part of me that's really nervous. Either the kid's going to collapse or swear or something's going to happen. So I think that adds to making the show actually somewhat watchable at moments. Right?
I thought actually you were going to say that they could do your job better than you.
That's really the easiest thing to say. Yeah, half of them could, probably more than half. But it's refreshing to see these kids also. They all come in and they're really some pretty bright kids. Gives you a little bit of hope.
They're so cute. Do you give them any sort of guidance ahead of time, or is that all them?
They come in, and then I've got one of our producers, this guy Mike Jansen. He works with them for maybe only 10, 15 minutes and just kind of says, all right, this is what you need to do. And they get it. We keep it simple, but they do a great job with it. So It's encouraging to see.
You're hip too, Paul. Yeah. I mean, you can your street. You relate to the kids today.
That's nice of you to say.
It's true.
Hey, speaking of hip, I know I didn't realize Steve was calling in sick, but this weekend he and I went out and got tattoo tramp stamps together.
Cool.
And which might be why he is not in today, because he felt badly right after getting it. He was like, "I don't think this was maybe a mistake. Hold on, I've got to do my 7-day forecast real quickly."
Okay.
Because you're going to love it.
Should
I'll
we
do
watch
it
you?
With you guys and me at the exact same time.
Okay, good. Hey, do something for us. Do all something right. Like, you know, touch your nose.
All right. Well, they're not going to put me on camera.
Oh, no. Pat your head and rub your tummy.
Here's what's going on with our 7-day forecast. Today, look for temperatures in the lower 50s here. A stray shower is still possible, especially for northwest Indiana as we get into the midday hours. Cooler tomorrow, high of 48 degrees, 37 with sunshine here on Wednesday. Cooler lakeside. And looks like Friday we'll make it into the mid to upper 60s with a chance for some showers and some thunderstorms. That's forecast.
Wow, that was great. That was great. Paul Conrad on WGN doing the rare WGN radio TV simulcast
Wearing two hats like he always says. And no offense, you carry that show. You carry it, Paul.
Yeah.
And all on those shoulders.
And by the way, congratulations. I saw robertfeeder.com reporting that WGN TV Morning News, number one, 5 to 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks to Peter for putting that in. Hey, thanks. It's surprising and encouraging, right? It's nice to see that.
Actually, the article that I saw would said Paul Conrad and the WGN.
Oh, yeah. You saw the best version of it.
I didn't want to embarrass Paul by pointing that out. Hey, Paul, real quick, I don't want you to take this question the wrong way.
No, that's all right, yeah.
How are your brackets?
They're gone. No. at the end of the first day, it really got bad fast.
Paul, you still have your tramp stamp bestie tattoos.
I do, and I got a nice McDonald's logo right on the crack, so I'm happy about that. All right, listen, I got to run.
USDA.
There he goes.
Right there.
All my love.
Love you, Paul. Love your show. Paul doesn't carry them, does he? He kind of does.
No, you said it.
Paul still, he's gone, right? Paul, are you there?
That was pretty good that he did that 7-day forecast while he was on with us. Didn't skip a beat. They threw it to him. He knew he was there. He's thrown out the numbers, the temperatures, all that.
And we were going, in his ear and blowing in his ear. Oh, that was just me.
Yeah.
7:58. We're back after this on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
8:10 on a Monday morning, the Steve Cochran Show. Dave Ennett and Andrea Darlis. Steve is under the weather today, but hopefully he'll be back up and around tomorrow. Coming up later this hour, I think we've got some more Prices Right tickets.
Yes.
That's the rumor.
I hope we have enough time to play the shopping game that we played last week.
Yeah, I didn't get to play, so I'm very
You played today.
I would love to play.
Yeah, Mary.
Chris Collins, Northwestern basketball coach, will join us at 8:40, kind of put the wrapping on what was a very memorable season for Northwestern and a memorable weekend, too. We'll talk to Coach Collins about that. Next hour, did you know that today is National Ravioli Day?
I love ravioli.
A lot of people think every Monday is Ravioli Day.
Karim is excited about getting some ravioli.
We're actually going to taste some this morning. And then, dating over 40.
Yeah, we're doing this seminar myself, Bella Gandhi, Dr. Lauren Stryker, and Alexandra Solomon, and we'll tell you all about it. This is going to be, I think it's sold out, but I think Dr. Stryker might open it up for a few more tickets today. But this is going to be a super fun event at Northwestern in just a couple of weeks.
So now, those of us who aren't 40 yet, are we able to attend?
Yes, but you're married, so. Well, you can still go. You can go with your single boyfriends.
No, you know what? I mean, my wife and I go on dates.
I know you do.
Even though we're over 40.
You're very romantic.
With each other. I want to make that clear.
With each other.
Yes.
I'd like you to add the disclaimer. So your wife, you said on the air, my beautiful wife is here in Salt Lake City.
Did she
fly out to surprise you?
No, I kind of knew she was coming.
Oh, okay. You said, come on out
here,
baby.
She flew out just for the game on Thursday and then flew back.
You said, I'll have a lot of free time.
So she didn't stay for the Saturday game?
No.
She was there. That's why we lost.
That's what happened.
If I may, just seeing Dave and his lovely wife around Northwestern and then also following them deeply on Facebook as I do, I think it's like top five marriage in all of Chicago. I mean, there is so much love there. It's really beautiful.
I completely agree.
Thank you very
guys,
much.
And you're you're wonderful. You're Dave Enett. Your wife is just a dynamic woman. She's beautiful. She's funny. She's wonderful. And you guys are a great power couple.
Thank you very much.
She's, Mark, go Cats.
Yeah, she still rules the roost, by the way.
Mark,
yeah,
that's a little bit like stalking there, Mark.
I didn't take it that way, Steve.
A little bit like it.
I own my level of Facebook stalking.
Okay, all right.
We all do it, Steve. You should just out yourself now. I know you spend a lot of time
on
there.
I have no idea what you're talking
you
about.
You know, Karen Enett and I have a secret past together that I should probably just, well, you already know. You know about our date. Karen Enett, myself, yes, and John Williams'
I
wife, Brenda, we went to Oprah Winfrey's last show together. We had a ball. I mean, and it was the first, I think, girls' night that we ever had. We had a great time, and we always reminisce.
But John was there, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, we didn't talk to him much, though.
Okay, good.
We just kind of, you know how when you go out as couples, and the guys are at one end, or the girls are at the other, or mm-hmm. basically the girls talk to the girls, and mm-hmm. the guys talk to the guys? That's kind of what it was. We ostracized him, but we still love him. Hey, did any of you guys see Beauty and the Beast over the weekend?
I did not. I believe that my son and daughter-in-law went to see it.
Okay.
I have not seen
yes,
it.
Yes, my son saw it as well as my daughter saw it as well.
Okay, yeah. What'd
they
think?
They loved
yeah.
it.
Yeah, my cousin saw it with my goddaughter. They did a mommy-daughter day.
Aww.
Loved it. And my goddaughter's she's going to be 5 next month. It kept her attention, you know, so it wasn't...
Well, the music is phenomenal.
Yeah, and she said, oh, she just... My cousin said this, not my goddaughter. She said she cried and cried. It was so beautiful Aww. And so well done and just everything, even from the candlesticks that were dancing. They just said it was wonderful.
Shockingly, I missed it.
I know. I'm surprised, Mark.
Mark, that would be a good date to take someone on.
Yeah.
That would score major points.
Settle down, Mary. That's way too
major
aggressive.
Points.
Beauty and the Beast?
Yes!
No.
Andrea, that would score major points.
I go to sporting events, Mary.
Well,
sporting
maybe that's
events.
The problem. Okay.
Why does there have to be a problem?
No, it'll be a nice date. It'll be a nice date. We're doing dating over 40 in the 9 o'clock hour, Carm, so you'll have to listen up. And good news, I just got word, we will play the Price is What Right game.
Oh, excellent.
So you'll get to play that today with Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet. That coming up. How about we'll take two callers right now, 312-981-7200 if you want to play the Price is Right game and for a chance to win tickets to see the Price is Right. It's coming to Chicago, and you can be in the audience, and they'll say, come on down, hopefully, and you'll listen to that.
Are we eligible?
No, but you're going to play the game.
I'll play the game.
Are you
sure.
and Carm playing it?
Plinko?
Sure.
What do you win?
Tickets to see the Price is Right.
Oh, yes. The real price. Oh.
Spin the wheel.
8:15 in the morning. Yeah, we'll spin the wheel. Plinko. Those games were great, right?
I love it. The mountain climber.
Do 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 do. Sounds like Wizzo.
We're nuts.
We're so weird today.
It's 8:15.
I think you need some sleep, young
All right,
lady.
First two callers here. You'll talk to Mary Sandberg Boyle, and you're at 312-981-7200. There's one line open. Give us a call, and let's get traffic first, though. Here's Mary Vandeveld. All right, it's time to play The Price is Right. Remember watching the game show, Bob Barker, long microphone, showcase, showdown with your grandma making Sanka on the stove. Oh, that's my memories. All right, everybody loves The Price is Right. We're going to play The Price is Right game. Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, you are in charge of this game.
I am.
We did it last time. It was fun. It was awesome. And why don't we throw it over to you?
All right, so you have two callers there. Andrea, why don't you assign who they're playing with?
All right, sounds good. Marie, all right, let's do Marie. Hi, Marie, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Marie, who do you want to play with, Mark Carmen or Dave Enett? Don't feel bad about
Mark
choosing
Carmen.
One. You, oh,
Carmen.
All right, there you didn't even
think. Thanks,
you
Marie.
Think about that, Marie? Okay.
Great,
I love
meeting you.
Zero hesitation. Love you, Marie.
Go catch.
Love you too, Mark.
Okay, Marie, and let's bring Angie up too. Angie, you with us?
Morning.
There you are. Okay, Angie, you're going to play with Dave Enett. Is that okay? I know Mark Carmen's already
what if
taken.
She says no at this point? Are you just trying to just bury me into the ground?
Don't be jealous, Angie.
All right, so...
I like playing with Dave Enett. No
thank you, Angie.
Oh,
and aren't you, aren't you supposed to say, Marie from Downers Grove, come on down.
Come on down.
And Angie from Calumet City, come on down.
You're the next contestant on the WGN Radio Price is Right.
Okay, we're going to start with Mark Carmen and Marie.
Good job, Andrea.
I'm going to give you, we're going to play high-low. I'm going to give you 6 items, and you have to decide what are the 3 most expensive, all right?
Marie, I'm going to follow your lead, just so you know. Go ahead.
Okay.
We're going to, this is the organic produce section.
Ooh, love organic.
Nature Promise organic baby carrots.
Mm-hmm.
One bag. a 16-ounce bag.
Mm-hmm. 16-ounce bag, great.
Organic blueberries.
Mm. Love a blueberry.
Jeez. A 5-count of organic bananas.
Mm-hmm.
One Honeycrisp apple.
Wow, this is a tough one here. Go ahead.
Onions, green scallions, organic, one bunch.
All right, so you have to pick the three most expensive items.
Well, hang on, that's four.
That's
or
only
five.
That's five.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Organic strawberries, a 16-ounce package.
Ooh, that's tough.
Marie, okay. What are you thinking here? Because I feel like everything, every one of those is the same exact price.
Okay, I'm going to go with the blueberries.
Uh-huh, I would have gone blueberry.
Strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's trying to trick us by saying one apple.
She's definitely going with the trick on the apple. But, like, I buy that apple. That apple's like $2.
You going with the apple?
Yeah.
All right.
I just want to clarify, it is one bunch of organic bananas.
One bunch.
One bunch.
Oh, a bunch. Okay, then I'm going to go with, I'm going to change my answer and go with the bananas.
Over the apple?
Yeah.
Okay, so
What do you think, Mark?
I'm with you. Blueberry, strawberries, banana.
Okay.
Oh, it was a ding. Nice job, Marie and Carm.
Good job, Marie.
Woo, look at you guys.
You did that, Marie.
Yeah, the one organic Honeycrisp apple would be $2, which is 99 cents less than the bunch of bananas.
But that was good. That was a nice little red herring you threw in there.
Can I get a little credit for knowing exactly what one apple of an organic variety costs?
No. Very nice, Carl.
No, not really.
Oh, the competition's fierce in the room. All right, Mary.
All right. Okay. Hang on 1 second.
Angie, you ready? Dave Bennett, you ready?
Ready, Angie? You got to carry us here.
I'll try.
Are you Team Dangy?
Sure.
All right. Team Dangy. Are you nervous?
A little.
All right.
Way to name it, Dave.
Because Carmen's contestant, Marie, just won tickets, so...
And Carmen had absolutely nothing to do with that.
I support it. I let her lead.
I'm going to do the same with Angie.
All right, so we are going to do, in honor of Dave Bennett's things he's interested in, we are going to do beverages.
Yes.
Really?
But these are non-alcoholic, because this is a family-friendly game.
Mm-hmm.
So, is Angie? Right?
Yes.
It's Angie, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. A 1 17-ounce bottle of sparkling ice, black raspberry, sparkling water, 0 calories.
Okay.
One bottle.
Okay.
A 12-ounce can of La Croix, apricot flavor.
Mmm. Love the apricot blend.
It's my turn, Mark.
Awful.
I'm more of a lime fan.
Sorry, Dave, I got
people
excited.
Always, I know, like our boss Stephanie drinks that, I think, and pretends it's pop, but it's not pop, so it's like not good.
I always thought it was LaCroix too, so I got schooled.
Oh, I'm probably.
I need
that.
To focus. Let's keep going.
Sorry,
Canada Dry Club Soda, 1 liter bottle.
Dave's taking notes. This is solid.
A 12-pack of Diet Coke.
Dave knows that cost.
That too.
A Simply Orange juice with calcium, pulp-free, a 59-ounce bottle.
59 ounces? What?
That seems really big.
It does.
Okay, you got one more, right?
Dunkin' Donuts Original Coffee K-Cups, a 10-count box.
Oh, okay.
Jeez, this is tough. I circled them all.
So we need the...
I did.
Good thing Andre is not playing.
We need the three most expensive.
The three most expensive.
Okay, what do you think, Angie?
I am thinking Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Simply Orange, because we buy that.
Yeah, same here.
And I want to say the 12-pack of Diet Coke.
You and I are in sync on this.
Oh, yes.
How we
are.
Doing, Mayor?
I'm not sure about this.
Yes!
Oh, look
all
at
right.
You
two. Great job.
Woo.
Mary get Dave the
Team Dangy gets it done.
Yeah.
So, Andrea, would they win?
Dangy and Curry.
You win two tickets to go see The Price is Right, playing live two shows on November 11th and 12th at the Rosemont Theater. It's the Hint Interactive show that gives eligible individuals the chance to come on down and play classic games from TV's longest-running and most popular game show. Tickets are on sale now if you are not Marie and Angie, who are getting free tickets at Ticketmaster.com and the Rosemont Theater box office. Congratulations!
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys have a great day.
Hey, you know, if Marie takes Carmen, Angie takes Edit, you guys could double date. We'll give you maybe a Lou Malnati.
I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. We're a great team.
Congratulations. You guys did well. Did you know all that, or were you guys just guessing?
I had them right here. Had them written down.
Let me
right
see.
Here.
Give me see
right
paper.
Here. I had one Dunkin' Donuts, K-Cups, two Simply Orange, three. No, Mary, I wasn't.
No, Mary, I can right? attest. He was
good
not.
Yeah.
He did not Google.
Prozac? Oh, wait. I'm back on your medical records now. No.
The
wow.
Look,
kidding.
The look of satisfaction on Dave's face after winning that competition.
Yeah,
that
was so
tough.
Happy.
Very
you
tough.
Guys did very good. All right, congratulations to Marie and Angie. Hold the line. We'll get you your tickets. And we have Coach Collins coming up next. 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Benson the rebound. 2 seconds to go. That will do it. Well, the dream ends here in Salt Lake City, but not without a fight from the Northwestern Wildcats. Their first ever trip to the NCAA tournament produces one unforgettable victory, and quite frankly, one unforgettable loss to the number one seed.
I don't know who that guy was, courtesy of Learfield.
David,
here on WGN on Saturday.
David Enat.
Yes.
Great call.
That was where it all ended for the Wildcats on Saturday in Salt Lake City, and we're very pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Northwestern Wildcats, who just completed his fourth season, Chris Collins. Coach, I thought, well, this would be good. We'll have you on Monday morning. You have a day to kind of let the events of Saturday sink in. Plus, we'll have you on. Duke will have won, so you'll be in a good mood Monday morning. I didn't get that quite right, did I?
No, but I'll give you a pass just because you're our guy. So plus I've been with you so much, I miss not seeing you yesterday. So
I know it was
just
weird.
Just to hear your voice, it feels like old times.
Well, it was a great time. I mean, it was such a wonderful season. I know it's not much consolation. You're not looking for a participation ribbon or anything, but the comeback, to come back in a game like that where. At halftime, I think there were people even on the network saying, well, this game's over here at the half. What do you take away from that?
Well, I just think that second half kind of showed in a microcosm who our guys were all year long. I mean, we were a bunch of fighters. We were a resilient team. We were a tough-minded team. We got shell-shocked there in the first half, took a punch to the gut or the face, however you want to term it. We were on the canvas. There's no question about it. And we kind of just looked at each other. We're down 20 points. And we just kind of challenged each other to not go down like this. You know, that's not why we were there. We were there because we fought all year long. And to see the guys go out that last 20 minutes and leave it on the floor the way they did made me incredibly proud. But it didn't surprise me because that's the character and the toughness that we had in our locker room all year long.
Yeah, no question about that. The missed call has been rehashed. I think everybody's familiar with what happened now. But I guess it raises another issue, Coach, which is we have video replay in every sport. We have it in college basketball. It's somewhat limited, but it is there. Is it something, could you see a way that video replay could be expanded where maybe if there's a call like that, they could take a look at it, or a missed call?
Yeah, I mean, I think the goal of everybody is to just make sure you get the calls right. And, of course, there's human element involved, and those are some of the best officials in the country. There's a reason why there's a rating system. There's a reason why those guys get a high-level game like that is because they're highly regarded. So there's always going to be a human element where there's mistakes made. Of course, you want every call to be gotten right. I just thought and fouls are tough to judge because they're, you know, you could call a foul probably on every play with the physicality of the game. So you got to be careful with that. But, a play like that is just disappointing because to me it was very obvious. I kind of likened it when I was really young, when I got my first little Tykes hoop when I was 3 or 4. One of the first things my parents told me was, you can't go through the net to block the when I'm playing one-on-one with my little sister, they thought that that's illegal. So I kind of knew that rule when I was very young. So obviously it was unfortunate. And, you know, I wasn't trying to get a technical. It was just an immediate reaction. I saw it clear as day. And it was just kind of a reaction when you see something stark happen. And unfortunately, the other three guys in charge, none of the three guys see it. You know, your initial instinct is to kind of jump up and react. So, you know, you wish you could take that moment back and not get the technical there. But that, you know, it's the way it is. You got to live with the calls. And that's why they're officials.
Chris, let's go back to the toughness part of it, because you guys do a ton of team building in the offseason. You take advantage of bringing guys together. Was there any point, I don't know, was the offseason or during the year, where you realized that, hey, this team has that sort of toughness gene or whatever you want to call it, where when we do get challenged, we're going to respond?
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of noticed it in the summer. You know, just the way the guys were carrying themselves, the swagger that they had. There just looked to be a confidence in them. I think they felt, you know, the momentum that we took from the end of last year, where we had won 20 games. It was a nice start. Even though we didn't get to postseason, I thought our guys felt good about what we had done, and just the way they were approaching the off season workouts. I just sensed a veteran experience to our guys and a confidence and swagger that maybe I hadn't seen in the previous 3 years that I had been here. So I knew we had a chance to be good. And then I think I've talked about it. We played Butler early in the season, I think our third game of the year, and it was at Hinkle House. You know, I knew how good Butler was, especially at home. And, you know, the way we played that night, I remember just being on the bus coming back from that game thinking, you know what, we're a pretty good team. And if we can get this thing going and play well and get some wins, then, you know, we can make some noise this year. And certainly that's what our guys did.
And of course, the Butler turns out to be one of the teams in the Sweet 16. You've played 4 teams in the Sweet 16. You beat 2 of them. Actually, you played 5 because Gonzaga's in there too. Played 5. You came close against them. 3 Big Ten teams in the Sweet 16 out of the 7 that made the tournament. The ACC has 1 team in the Sweet 16 out of the 9 that were selected. Do you look at this as a referendum on the season the Big Ten had, when everybody was kind of saying that the conference was having a down year? Or is it just when you get to this point, the regular season is an afterthought now? This is all about what you do in the tournament.
Well, it is a lot about matchups, but I did say a couple weeks ago, you know, there was so much maligning of our conference all year long about how mediocre it was. And, you know, I did say all year long that, you know, this was a very good league, you know, night in and night out, what you had to face, you know, not only the great talent, but the great coaches, the great environments. And you have to become tough if you want to win in the Big Ten. It's just no other way about it. You know, it's a toughness league, and it's really hard to win in our league, whether you're at home or on the road. And I had been saying for the last couple of weeks that I felt like once our teams got into the NCAA tournament, that people would see, you know, that we had some really good teams in this league that had a chance to advance deep into this tournament. So I'm not surprised. You know, I think all of our teams showed out really well, and it was a testament to how good our league was all year long. And it's an honor to play in a great league. I think it's as good a league as there is in the country, in my opinion.
And congratulations to Coach on your new head cheerleader, Coach Fitz, because he really, really was out there. I think he lost his voice more so than you and Dave Ennett.
It was awesome to have Fitz out there. I mean, you know, for me, he is Northwestern. You know, he represents everything that's great about our school, you know, and he's kind of been the face of this place for a long time. And so to have him at the forefront and leading the cheers, and to come out cross country, to come out to support us, it meant a lot to our team, meant a lot to me. He and I have developed a great friendship, and it was awesome to have him there. He's he's got a great energy to him. And that was what was special about the whole thing, guys, to be really honest, you know, just to be out there and just to see the waves of purple roaming the streets of Salt Lake City. And, you know, I took a walk a couple times and people just yelling, "Go Cats," and to see how this whole run just brought together a great base of alums and fans and people that have supported Northwestern for a long time. To me, that was the most fun of the whole part of this journey.
Did you know that he was going to pop his head in the locker room when you were talking to the guys about getting ready for Gonzaga? I think most people have seen that video where you're like, "They're a good team," and he's yelling in the back, "So are you," and your guys go nuts.
Yeah, I didn't know that was him, and I'm trying to talk, and this guy's like keeps interrupting me and talking over me, and then finally he pops out, and his middle linebacker nature came out, and it was awesome. So it was just great. It was a magical weekend. Unfortunately, we didn't, you know, have a chance to keep it going. It would have been great, you know, to be able to be going to San Jose and playing the Sweet 16. We lost to a great team, but our guys should hold their heads high. I mean, it was a great run. What we accomplished, 24 wins, get to the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament, you know, come within a couple of minutes of going to the Sweet 16. I'm just really proud of what these guys did, and hopefully this can just be the beginning of some more great moments in our program.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that.
And congratulations to you and to Dave, to everybody on the team. I mean, you played your hearts out.
No, thank you, guys, and appreciate your guys' support the whole way. We love our partnership with WGN, and obviously Dave, you know, being there and the voice of the Wildcats, to have him to be able to call these games. It was a special run, and, you know, let's dust ourselves off and try to do it again next year.
Final four.
That sounds great.
Final four. Final four.
Okay. All right, Carm.
Final four.
Easy
yeah.
there, buddy. Hey, Coach, thanks for everything this year. It was great, and I'm sure we'll see you soon. Hopefully you get a little time to rest up now and recuperate.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Later, Coach. It's Coach Chris Collins, and a fantastic, fantastic season.
Wouldn't
Dave.
It be awesome to see Dave end at the Final Four next year? Wouldn't that be just so beautiful?
Oh, my God. I don't know if he could take it.
Oh, he could handle it.
We were worried about you for many reasons.
Well, I was
sick. When you got
sick.
And then when you won the first game, oh, not you personally, but when the team.
I understand I didn't win the game.
Right, when the team won the first game.
I was okay.
I know, but Final Four?
I could handle it.
You'd explode, there'd be purple confetti pouring out of your eyeballs.
Let's just kind of move along, see what we can do. And
that's a great season.
Don't want to get ahead of yourself.
Another victory this weekend, one for the record books and for our hearts. Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet's son, Patrick.
Stepson.
You tell the story, Mary.
Yeah.
It's emotional, it's powerful, and it's poignant.
It's my stepson, Patrick. He just turned 10. He plays squirt hockey out of Winnetka, and his team is Keats Manufacturing, and they won the championship yesterday.
Look at that.
Wow.
It was in they were tied 3-3 at the end of three periods and went to a shootout where they do five shots each, and our goalie, Ika, was a wall.
I thought, now, did Patrick, he's played goalie before, right?
He has played goalie during the season. They rotate, but this kid is a... You can't get a puck past him, so we got to go with him. So Patrick enjoys the experience. I wouldn't say he's probably fifth or sixth in the depth chart.
How big is Ika?
Ika's a bigger guy.
Yeah.
His shoulders go to the top of the, what do you call it, the net, you know. So he's fast. The kid just started playing hockey this season, and he has great instincts. You know, he does the butterfly and all that business.
How old are the kids?
These are 9 and 10 year olds.
9 and 10 year olds.
Yeah, but he's like 16.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Eek is like 5'2", probably.
So what?
And we played. Go ahead, Dave.
No, well, I saw the video.
Yes.
So okay. The kids come running onto the skating onto the ice, but they throw all their gloves off. It's just like when Kane scored the goal in Philadelphia in 2010, and the gloves come off, and everybody's running. And
yes, there's a dog pile on the ice, and they do play Chelsea Dagger. I was wondering if your kid plays hockey, like in Michigan or Minnesota, do they also play Chelsea Dagger for all the good stuff? Because that's what they play here. So they were There was, it just looks just like pros. I'm going to post that video on WGNRadio.com so you can see it.
Cigars afterwards?
Yes, also yeah. Cigars. Yeah.
Right.
And there was an announcement. Parents, champagne. You get 2 minutes on the ice to take pictures of the trophy, but then the Zamboni has to come out for the next game.
So. Wow.
Oh.
Ice time expensive.
Gotta love it. Well. Who's his favorite player?
Well, he knows I love Duncan Keith, so he always says Duncan Keith. But he's a Patrick Kane. He loves Panarin because the smiley guys that score a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So you're a huge Hawks fan.
I am.
So what's more important? Like, when, what do you get more excited for, the Blackhawks or Patrick and company?
Here's what I'm going to be honest with you. This team, Patrick, in the 4 years I've been watching Patrick play sports, he's never been on a winning team. A lot of great kids on the team, but never any good teams, so it never mattered. This season, their team was fine. That's 6 months. It's a long season, so to watch fine games, it's kind of like, eh. But for some reason, they really turned it on in the playoffs, and they were undefeated. They won 6 games impressively. Like, I don't know who these kids were because they weren't playing like this all season. And so it became more pressure and stressful. Ordinarily, I would have said I wouldn't have cared about Patrick's games because it didn't really matter. But it, when they care and they're playing like they care and it matters, and see? Then all of a sudden there's a championship. It was, and then when it's 3-3 tied at the end of three periods, it was very stressful.
And it's, I think it's more exciting to watch, right, than say a T-ball game that goes on and doesn't end.
Right, because that's the nice thing about hockey is it's timed, you know, so you don't get.
Oh, I don't know. See, I think you're selling T-ball short.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
But my parents were there, and they were telling my mom and dad are telling Pat that it was more exciting than watching the Hawks. They were.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Here's to Patrick.
Congratulations.
And his team.
Little squirts.
Keats Manufacturing, Ottawa-Neca. Good job. So.
Very nice. Congratulations.
And they're beast kids. They have some AJ, Robbie, Chris, Leo, Lola, Claire. Like these kids were.
Oh.
Nathan. They like really did
they
great.
Girls
Patrick,
on
of course.
Team too? This is
yes.
Awesome.
The other team we played too was Atlas, the black team, which was undefeated all season. And then we beat them the first day of the playoffs and then the last day of the playoffs, and they have a girl on their team that's like a wall. She has a pink helmet. You can't ice the puck. She stops every puck out of the air, on the ice. Like she they're really good.
Yeah, good for her. This is awesome.
Yeah, it was very exciting. So thank you. And I'm gonna post it on WGNRadio.com.
We'll look for that there. That congratulations to Patrick and company.
Thank you.
After the news, noodle month, we're gonna be sampling some ravioli.
It's ravioli day.
Isn't it noodle month too? March is National Noodle Month as well. We got it all. We got it all going on today. The Steve Cochran Show continues, 720 WGN.
This Italian eatery, a must. Ravioli, holy cannoli.
Reminds me of Moonstruck, doesn't it? Movie with Cher, remember?
Oh, that, yeah.
Love a good pasta. 9:11 in the morning, 720 WGN. It is the Steve Cochran Show. Andrea Darlis, Dave Bennett with you until 10 o'clock. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10. Thank you, Wendy, for that text before. Sorry, I had my microphone on. And I apologize to you too, Mary Vandeveld. I know you were doing traffic, and I was singing Chelsea Dagger.
I know. I was having a concert under the traffic.
It was kind of nice.
At least I didn't swear or anything.
We should try this more often.
Yeah.
You're doing it, and I'm going, da-da-da-da-da, and they're going, your mic is on. Dork. So
you were dancing.
We were dancing. Mary, you're going to have to come down here. March is National Noodle Month, and today, National Ravioli Day. We have in studio Zach Walrath, the executive chef of the Florentine. Of course, right in the heart of the Loop, one of the best Italian restaurants in the city on the second floor of the JW Marriott. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, let's talk pasta. What is it about? You're going to do a little demonstration for us as well today too. We're going to make some ravioli right here in studio, and I see you laying out the pasta right now. Seriously, Zach, what is it about homemade pasta that makes it so much better than pasta that you either, you know, kind of get in a bag or in a box?
Well, I mean, I feel like it speaks to the handmade process. You know, the love that goes into the fresh pasta. Obviously, it's really simple ingredients, but usually they, you know, making it by hand adds a little bit more to the flavor, I think, sometimes. I mean, you know, an Italian grandma doesn't do anything different than I do or than anyone else does, but you know her pasta always tastes the best.
Yeah, see, my friend Gina Tumanello, her grandma made homemade pasta the best. There's no way I could ever do that. And I always say to myself, I want to do it on my own. Is it really that hard?
I mean, by hand, it's really easy. You know, it's only a few ingredients, flour, eggs, and a little bit of oil and salt. And you just put it on the table. You kind of use your hands. You get in there. You get dirty. Also, you could use a KitchenAid or even a food processor. So it even gets easier than doing it by hand.
What about the artistic side of it? Because pasta, there are so many different shapes and designs, and I don't know if I'm creative enough to come up with one of those.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Honestly, at the Florentine, we kind of stick true to the usual shapes, tortellini, ravioli. But sometimes we do a little bit of outside-the-box thinking, like a caramelli kind of is in the shape of a caramel. Like a piece of candy.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
You know, and then the fillings, you know, you can make many, many different fillings to raviolis or to the caramelli or even putting squid ink into the dough or something green into the dough to make it green. There's a lot of things you can do that are pretty easy to accomplish, even for someone at home.
I have to ask, does size matter? I mean, does it matter? Yeah, I know you're looking at me weird, but it doesn't matter. Does a fettuccine noodle alter the taste of, say, an angel hair pasta or a bow tie?
Yeah, you know what? I think it depends kind of on the sauce, but also it is something to your taste. I mean, there's different sauces do go with different pasta, but in my mind, it's what you really like yourself. You can do raviolis that are really big, a singular one. They're a little bit more delicate and harder to cook, so the smaller ones are a little bit easier. But I think it's all depends on the person and their usual taste.
Are you tried and true to just your plain pasta noodle, or what do you think of when you add truffle oil and squid ink and crazy things to your pasta?
Yeah, I mean, we do kind of some crazy things. We did a gnocchi that had truffle in it. Like, we folded truffle pieces into the gnocchi. We do mix a lot of things in there. Green, like in the spring, we'll do a green pasta. You know, we're welcoming in the color and the flavors of spring. I like doing outside the box thinking all the time. We always put a few different things. Or this past menu, we put saffron in the dough. So just for a little bit of more color. It's fun to do it that way.
Boy, and the Florentine Room right downtown here, it's fantastic. Tell us where it's at.
It's inside the JW Marriott at 151 West Adams. We're open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we have a free pizza happy hour from 4 to 6.
Hey!
Yeah, it's really good.
The ears perk up, right?
We're there.
All right, hang out. Hey, stick around with us. Chef Zach is going to be serving us some ravioli with ricotta filling in three sauces. You ready for this, Dave?
Yes.
Sausage, tomato sauce, stracciatella. I thought there was chocolate chip.
Yeah, it's also the same word, but it's a filling for the burrata, so it's like the cream that's inside burrata.
Okay.
How'd you know that?
Chocolate chips, impressive. All right, Chef Zach, more with him in the Florentine Room right after this on 720 WGN. WGN.
I was slow to join there, sorry.
Happy National Noodle Month. Happy National Ravioli Day, Dave.
Well, I know. I had it circled on my calendar.
Right? I did too.
Yep.
Zach Walrath, the executive chef of the Florentine, right in the heart of the loop on the second floor of the JW Marriott here downtown, in studio with us, making homemade pasta, teaching us how to make homemade pasta. And we have volunteered, and he has so graciously accepted. Mark Carmen is going to be doing the play-by-play. Chef Zach has laid out the noodles. Mark, what are we seeing
here? Thank you, Andrea. It's good to be able to provide this for everybody. First of all, I thought that these noodles were, I don't know. I thought it was like a sanitary thing, but it's actually a noodle. So this looks really not what it looks like when it comes out. Does anybody agree with that? Dave, I don't think you do, actually.
Because they were spread out, like, all across. They haven't been cut yet, right?
Right. Yeah. It looked like a cloth, like something you dry your face with. I don't know, but all of a sudden it's turning into a noodle, and there's been cheese, and now we're getting a circular object that is making each individual ravioli, which is an amazing process to actually see firsthand. I like to There's a lump in each circular, which I believe this description is insane.
That's a lump.
Would that be the technical term, Mark?
Would that be the cheese, chef?
I believe that is the cheese.
Yes, the cheese. Okay, the cheese is the lump.
Aren't you guys glad that you had me do this?
Oh, you are just killing it.
Chef is actively preparing the pasta right now. The water is almost boiled. I have sauce and other objects to my right, and I can feel the intensity as we're about to commence.
See, play-by-play's not so easy, is it now, buddy?
It isn't. I know this. I did think that this one would be particularly easier because it's just a ravioli, but I'm having some trouble here. All right.
Mark, are we seeing an asparagus, black truffle, and a little Parmesan there as well?
I don't see that at all, Andrea, but apparently you have eyes on it that I'm just not.
It's on my sheet here.
Oh, there it is. Now it's coming out from the bag. Audrey has brought out the truffle, which I would not have known as a truffle. And
Mark, what's a truffle?
Truffle is a truffle. Oh, okay. There they go. There's the truffles. Is that the truffle, chef?
Actually, the first sauce is going to be the sausage with tomato sauce.
That's sausage, not truffles.
There you go. Good call, Mark. You are killing it, Mark, right?
Yeah.
Annette, you want to take over this? No.
He's doing great.
There's a pan that the sausage just went into. I can tell you that for sure. That is accurate. And now the chef is opening up another plastic container that's got a white thing that I'm guessing is salt. Is that salt or is that sugar?
It is salt.
Gee, why don't you just have the chef do the play-by-play?
Because he's making the pasta.
That's very important to salt the water.
He's standing up. Yes, it's very important to salt the water.
I think that was an aggressive salting. It was more salt than I normally use. I think the chef probably knows more than what
I watch a lot of cooking shows, and they always say you can never salt the water too much.
Oh, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
What about the ingredients?
That's a Tom Colicchio said that.
You know, my grandmother, many of the old, you know, Italian grandmas, the Greek grandmas, the Jewish grandmas, my grandmother used to salt to taste. What are your thoughts on that, chef? Salting to taste, spicing to taste, or should you have exact measurements when you're doing this?
I don't think there's such thing as exact measurements when it comes to salt.
The microphone has been placed very close to the burning objects.
The two taste is very good.
Ah, look at that. All right, so we are creating now, and is the pasta boiling in the water, Mark?
Is that what you're seeing?
No, there's no boiling going on, but the chef is now entering the pasta into the water. And with a nice individual placement.
Is that an entry pass?
I think so. Into the post it goes, like McIntosh to Derek Pardon, the chef going pasta to the water. And there is a meat sauce being souffled.
May I just say that the Allstate Showcase studio smells better at the moment than it ever smells.
True story.
Amen to that. Amen to that. You can watch all of this right now on CLTV if you want to see our cooking demonstration. Chef, how long does it take to make a ravioli?
He just put butter in the sauce.
Oh.
I always see that on TV, and I can't believe. That's why my sauce never tastes as good at home, because I can't make myself put butter in my sauce.
Mark, it's a key play that you just missed there. We put the butter in the sauce.
I did. I wasn't sure that that was butter, but it looked very much like butter, and indeed it is butter.
Ask the chef how long it takes to make one ravioli. How long does it take to cook?
To cook?
Yeah, that's a pretty big-sized ravioli there.
I'd say a minute or two. Once they start to float, they're pretty close to going.
Okay.
I know the fresh pasta takes less time than when you have a boxed pasta or
how
frozen.
Do you know? You know, when I first started cooking, not that I even cook, when I first started cooking, we would take, this is college, we knew the spaghetti was done when you could take the noodle and you throw it up against the cabinet and it sticks to the cabinet. Yep.
Well, don't start throwing ravioli.
No,
it sounds like a wife's tale to me.
No, it's true. That's when I know it's done. But if you like it a little more al dente, do people like it a little more firmer, their pasta?
They do. Usually fresh pasta really is not al dente, but it has a little bit of chew to it.
See?
Weren't you in a band called the Floating Raviolis?
I was, and al dante. Chewy al dante is what it was more of a ska sound.
He was the lead singer.
Yes, he was.
I thought you dated him.
The first ravioli's going into the pot right now. Raviolis are going into the pan. From the pot to the pan, ravioli.
It's in the pan.
It looks very delicious.
You are not getting pasta play-by-play up and down the dial in this city or anywhere else in the United States right now.
Nope.
If you are, it's not sounding like this. This is the okay, so now, again, we are celebrating National Ravioli Day. We're celebrating National Noodle Month today. Chef Zach is here, and he's making our pasta. Are we almost done with it?
Light bubbling of the sauce around the ravioli. I think we're getting a collating. I think collation is...
Yes. Coalitioning? Yeah.
Is that a correct term, Dave? What do you think?
It is. Chef, do you ever have to call for a left-hander out of the bullpen?
Not usually.
We are so grateful to you. Thank you so much, Chef. Okay, they're going to serve it. He's going to plate it. And this is all, it's all about the presentation, right?
We there's a beautiful plastic plate that is going to serve the pasta.
Uh-huh.
The plate is sitting on a table, and now the pasta is entering the plate with a nice piece of sausage on top of the ravioli with the bubbling of the ricotta that is still transforming.
How hot the how hot should the sauce be too? And should you put the sauce on separately or mix it all together? Not mix it all together, right? You do the sauce.
I think
at
you
the
put everything together. Let the pasta cook a little bit in the sauce, just so it all kinds of come together.
Oh, that's fantastic! This is the best cooking demonstration ever. And props to Mark Carmen for this play-by-play.
Thank you. Very nice job.
Very
Mark.
Nice.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. It's good to see upper management has also come down to partake in the pasta.
Right.
There was a video being filmed. I think it's more of a. Perhaps wanting of pasta.
No, I think it's all, it's facilitating, facilitating the whole project. Huge thanks to Chef Zach. Thank you, Chef Zach. Executive chef at the Florentine. Again, it's downtown, the heart of the Loop, second floor of the JW Marriott. Thank you so much to Audrey for setting everything up. And we are going to take a quick break back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I had this guy leave me a voicemail at work, so I called him at home. And then he emailed me to my BlackBerry, and so I texted to his cell, and then he emailed me to my home account, and the whole thing just got out of control. And I miss the days where you had one phone number and one answering machine, and that one answering machine housed one cassette tape, and that one cassette tape either had a message from the guy or it didn't. And now you just have to go around checking all these different portals just to get rejected by seven different technologies. It's exhausting.
I just haven't met you yet.
Mm-hmm. 9:38 in the morning, 720 WGN, the Steve Cochran Show. Steve sick today. Dave Ennett and Andrea Darlis here with you till 10 o'clock. And Bill and Wendy, Steve is expected to be back with us tomorrow. He's going to be very sad, Dave, that he is missing this segment. He was looking forward to it. I am so psyched about this as well. We have in our studio Dr. Lauren Stryker, Bella Gandhi, and Alexandra Solomon. We are hosting a dating, I don't even want to say seminar, but Dr. Lauren Stryker, I'm going to throw this to you first of all. Tell us what we are doing in April. Let me pop you on there.
Okay.
Pull on up that mic. This is going to be
fantastic. Here we are. This is the A-team. Andrea, Bella, Alexandra, myself. And this is an event. That's what it is. It is an event to end all events because we are all going to be in a room together to lead the charge to help women in their dating endeavor. So we're calling it Dating After 40, How to Make It Awesome, Not Awful. And this is really directed at women from ages 40 to infinity. And we are going to cover it all from, of course, Bella's going to talk about how to get that date. Alexandra, who is a PhD from Northwestern University and author of Loving Bravely and a relationship expert, is going to talk about making sure that this is the right guy and how to make it work forever. And then, of course, I'm going to talk about, okay, now you're going to get naked. And let's make sure that it's okay, too.
Right.
Get real now.
And we're going to have booths, and we're going to have makeovers. Clarence is going to be there doing makeovers and hair and information. And, yes, there will be, you know, some goodie bags, gift bags to take home. We're going to have wine. We have a wonderful wine sponsor.
This is the perfect
Nibbles.
Girls' night. And it's not just, well, guys, too. Guys are welcome to come as well. But
are they? Are we?
You could have a makeover. Would you like a makeover?
Well, not me necessarily.
Not that any you need smart one.
Any smart single man in this city is going to show himself at Northwestern Hospital
Mark Carmen,
on that
maybe.
Day because the ratio of women will be like 80 women to 20 guys, and that's probably overstating it. So come on down.
I'll be there.
Mark's coming.
Mark is going to be there. Bella's been talking to Mark a little bit, but you know, something like this is so important. It's not just for single women. It's for married women who are bringing their single friends or just in a relationship, or maybe you just started dating, or maybe you're looking for love. So I think you set it up perfectly, Lauren. Bella, you're going to find the date. Let's talk about your role a little bit here.
All right. So you guys know 75% of our clients are singles over 40. And great love stories happen, guys, every single day in this city. So if you think it's hopeless, I'm here to tell you, you can definitely find love. So I'm going to give you all of my secrets. You can wring everything out of my brain that evening about how to create a great dating plan, from online dating to meeting people in real life to getting your friends to actually set you up with normal, nice, stand-up people. And there are ways to do it. And like I'm saying, if you're on the fence, I don't know if I should should come. I don't know if love exists for me. I am telling you, this is the event to come to.
All right. So then she tosses the ball to Alexandra. Let's talk about your role now in the symposium.
That's right. Well, I spend a lot of my week talking to college students, graduate students, and adults of all ages about what it takes to make a relationship work. It's really easy to get focused on what the other guy is doing, and I just need you to be like this for me. And so I flip the script a little bit and invite people real gently, real curiously inside of themselves and figure out, okay, what is it that you are bringing to the table? And doing that work, looking at your past and how that comes through for you, doing that work leads to such a deeply empowered place where you know exactly why you're bringing this person into your life and how, and you'll feel like you have the tools and the power within yourself to create something that really can go the distance.
All right, and then you're ready to do the deed.
And then the icing on the cake.
That's
right, because you do want that part to go well. And we know that over 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, there are physical, hormonal, and medical challenges, and I am going to be there to offer solutions. So the way this event is going to go, just to kind of give you an overview, is we're doing this at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in the Feinberg Pavilion, and the event begins right at 5 o'clock when women come in, they register. There's going to be a health and wellness fair that's going to have booths, makeovers. There's going to be, this, I mentioned, wine, nibbles, all that kind of stuff. And then around 6 o'clock, we're going to have everyone go in and take a seat with their wine, of course, a little bit more nibbles. This is on April 4th. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to spend the next hour with the panelists, each giving their words of wisdom. But then we are going to open it up to you. We are going to have you write down all your questions.
Right, and so don't be embarrassed if you want to ask the dirtiest question on the planet.
Well, and the way that we do our questions, and Andrea, you're in charge of this. You're going to be moderating the questions.
There is no question I won't ask.
No, and nothing too dirty for Andrea.
No.
That's my mantra.
The dirtier, the better. But the way that we frame these questions are, my girlfriend wants to know.
That's right.
My girlfriend wants to know.
My dirty girlfriend.
I got a friend. My friend's
never had an orgasm. Please help her. And we are here to help. So
it just baffles me. But go ahead.
Okay.
Right?
I mean,
There are girlfriends out there that have never had.
Yes
exactly.
Have a moment of silence
Moment of silence. Let's be supportive.
Candlelight vigil for that one.
Yeah. So we're going to have this great Q&A, the panel discussion. You're going to meet all your new best friends. Interestingly, as people are signing up, and we're going to tell you how to do that, what I'm finding is that the majority of the people that have bought tickets so far are coming by themselves. They're single. So do not, you're going to meet people. I guarantee you, the last time I did this event, tables actually had like reunions. So they went by themselves. It's very comfortable. And certainly you can come with a friend, and we encourage you to come with friends because it is a good, friends night out. But don't be afraid to come yourself.
No, it's a safe atmosphere. I mean, look at us. We're fun.
We're
open to questions. Dave, I know you have 1,000 questions going through your mind.
I do. But we only have 15 minutes left. I just don't know how I'm going to get them all in.
You got a guy that wants to know something, Dave.
But I do want to tell you how to get to this before it sells out, because we know it is going to sell out. First of all, tickets are $20. That includes it all. That includes your wine. That includes the makeovers, the booths, the nibbles, the prizes we're going to be giving out for trivia and all kinds of stuff like that. And that $20 is going to be donated to the Northwestern Medicine Center for Sexual Medicine and Menopause. So you'll be doing a good thing with that $20. And there are a number of ways you can sign up. You can go directly to Eventbrite and put dating after 40 in the search. You can go to my website, drstreicher.com.
drstreicher.com.
There is a button on the home page that will take you directly to the tickets. And please don't wait, because we know we're going to sell out. We just opened this up and we're really excited.
And you've hosted many events before, book signings and whatnot. They always sell out. All of your events, you always have to get on a waiting list. There's a few tickets left now for this. We are going to have an absolute blast. So hang on. We're going to talk a little more about dating and sealing the deal and what you can expect to see on April 4th. It is the Steve Cochran Show. And Dave, we'll get to your list of questions. Jeez.
Well, I'll just have to come April 4th.
How many questions do you have?
I'll be there April 4th and I'll ask my questions then.
Back after this on 720 WGN.
It's just not enough. Oh, darling. My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe.
Another huge thank you to Chef Zach Walrath from the Florentine. 151 West Adams, the second floor of the JW Marriott. Perfect place to take your date. Visit the website at the-florentine.net. All right, and speaking of taking your date, we're talking about a seminar that we are hosting, a symposium on April 4th. Myself, Dr. Lauren Stryker, Bella Gandhi, and Alexandra Solomon. This is going to be an incredible event. I've already gotten three texts from people saying, sign me up, let's do this. Again, let's tell everybody what they can expect and what they're going to get for $20. You can't even buy a glass of wine in the city for $20.
And you're going to get two glasses of wine.
Yeah.
April 4th, starting at 5 o'clock at Northwestern Memorial Hospital with a Feinberg Pavilion. Whoever comes to this event is going to arrive immediately. There's going to be lots of interesting booths. We're going to have Clarins there doing makeovers, hair, a lot of health and information. And then, of course, everyone's going to get their glass of wine and then go into the event center where we are going to have an amazing, amazing seminar.
Yep.
All moderated by Andrea, of course,
yeah.
With myself, Bella Gandhi, Dr. Alexandra Solomon, when we are going to go over not only how to find the guy and how to make it work, but then what's going to happen, you know, when you get naked. We're going to have questions and answers. We're going to have prizes. We're going to have trivia.
Right. This is for people who, like, you just started a brand new relationship, too. It's not
right.
just
exactly.
looking for love. I mean, Bella, you have people coming who are just starting out, maybe just finishing up, but this is the perfect time for them to get the answers.
That's right.
Questions.
And then you might have found the partner. You might have found the new person, but maybe things aren't going so well physically. I'm here to help. Maybe you're wondering about how this relationship's going to go. That's
maybe
where
Dr.
Solomon comes in.
Maybe they're going too fast. Is there something that is going too fast? Maybe. We had a discussion about this earlier in the week. How soon is too soon?
Oh,
right.
Well, hold on.
All right, I'll give you a preview.
The texters were saying like anywhere from 3 days to 3 months.
I'll give you a preview.
No 3 dates. There is no three-date rule, people. Somebody invented that,
right?
And it's not true.
Yes.
There is no three-date rule.
Yes.
Scratch that out.
So one of the questions that's already come in, we're not going to tell you the answer, Bella, but we talked about this actually is a question that we get a lot. And one is, the question is, you know, I've got a sexually transmitted infection, herpes or something like that. How do you tell? When do you tell? What do you do in a new relationship?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of thing that we're going to be talking about, because what we realize, and you know, Bella and Alexandra and I are actually friends. We like hang out together when we're not doing this thing. And one of the things that comes up a lot is I see patients all the time that say, you know, I'm so glad that you fixed things physically, but there's no guy, or I can't seem to sustain a relationship. Mm-hmm. And Bella, you get the other end of it.
Yeah. Yo, absolutely. I mean, we'll figure out why you've got dating patterns, why you're not meeting the right people, right?
Because
there are always reasons. Maybe it has things to do with, you know, what you saw in your childhood at home with your parents. Maybe you've got some Hollywood fantasies going on in your head, or you're just relying on instincts. Like, my checklist is I want him to be tall and funny and handsome. And you do the same thing over and over again, and you are like, why am I still single? And I'm 65 years old. And this is exactly, we poke the needle in, but we'll get to the right place and figure it out as to why you're not meeting the right
another,
people.
I heard two people say this weekend, opposites don't attract. And I think there's a little bit of truth to that. I mean, we've talked about that, too, with you many times here, Bella.
Look, that's the whole premise of eHarmony, right?
Yeah.
It's they make you take that 400-question test because their belief, which I agree with, is the more similar you are to somebody across 29 different dimensions of personality, the better off your potential match mm-hmm. is. So opposites can have a lot of sparks and a lot of chemistry, but the longevity is really what we have to look at.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, Bella, what you're saying about bringing in the patterns from the past and the childhood and kind of figuring out where is that hold up. Another one that I see a lot is not having healed from the last relationship, right? When we come into the dating world with our broken hearts right there on our sleeve, and we haven't done our own kind of inner work about figuring out kind of what happened, what went wrong, and how do we want to move forward so that the next person doesn't pay the price for the crime that person didn't commit.
You know,
and
Dave,
yeah,
you're
right.
A great example where I was teasing Dave saying you have a list of questions. Dave will be the finished product when we're done. Successful marriage.
Yay.
He and his wife still do date night. She surprised him in Saltwell. They planned for her to a little rendezvous in Salt Lake City when he was at the NCAA tournament. You keep it alive and you keep it fresh.
Try to.
You know, the one thing that about this event that is really, really a first of its kind event is between the three of us, Bella and Alexandra and myself, we all are out there talking to women mm-hmm. all the time.
Yes.
But this is the first time we've all been together in the same room.
I know.
Because what we realize is that it's all important. None of us, you know, whatever advice I give or these guys give, it's not enough. And this is really a very, very unique event.
And get out there, buy the tickets. They're available now. Again, drstryker.com. Where can we get the tickets?
You can go directly to Eventbrite, put Dating After 40 in the search, or you can go to drstryker.com, drstryker.com. And hit the button that says tickets. If you can't make it to this event, there is another button on my homepage that you will get advance invitations to future events so that you don't miss out.
Right. Don't miss out because it will sell out. $20. And again, Bella, your website, smartdatingacademy.com.
You got it.
Fantastic. Alexandra, your site as well?
Yeah, dralexandrasolomon.com.
All right. And you can see us all together, all in the same room. Dave, I'm making you go.
I'm going to come.
You know you're going to be there.
Plus, it's at Northwestern.
See?
So,
there you go. Know,
there's a connection
April
there.
4th. Ladies, thank you so much, and we will see you on the 4th.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Back after this on WGN.